Next on Gospel of Life, a special invitation to come to a significant pro-life event. Stay with us. Hello, I'm Reverend Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. We're joined by Janet Morana, our Associate Director, and by Randall Terry, founder of Operation Rescue, which this year reaches its 20th anniversary. And we want to invite you to some special events in commemoration of that. Randall, welcome to the program.
It's good to be with you again. A few weeks ago we were together. It's a blast to be with you.
Yes. Well, let's extend the invitation once again, and then we're going to talk about some of the basis for rescue activities. But what are we asking people to come to?
Well, for those who are watching, who love the Lord, who believe the Scriptures, and who love life, this I can promise you: if you will come to the Operation Rescue 20th anniversary, it will be one of the most profound, powerful experiences of your entire life. It's just that simple. And the reason we know this to be true is because 20 years ago, 18 years ago, 15 years ago, when we were having these huge events, people would testify that it was the most significant experience of their life, except for their conversion to Christ itself. Mm-hmm. And what we're doing is in Philadelphia on November 23rd and 24th, which is the Friday and Saturday after Thanksgiving, we are going to have 1,000, maybe 2,000 people on the ground in Philadelphia. We'll be doing pro-life training, but we're also going to go to the abortion clinics in downtown Philadelphia. And the goal is to have a kind of a reunion for those of us that have been doing this for these 20 years, but also to bring young people, people in their 20s and in their young 30s, the survivors who weren't aborted, especially college students. Just if you're watching and you've got a young person who you can get, bring them, bring them, bring them. Because when they come and they feel and they sense the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and they see how their faith is connected to saving the lives of babies that are about to be aborted, rescuing mothers from the horror of abortion, their lives will never be the same. And then they can go home as missionaries on the streets of America, missionaries in their schools, in their colleges, missionaries for life. Mm-hmm. And our goal ultimately is to help create a whole new generation of Christian pro-life leaders who understand the connection between their faith and their duty to love their neighbor as their self.
Well, yeah, right. When you say go to the abortion clinic, you know, people watching right now, okay, so you're going to go to an abortion clinic? What are you going to do there?
We're going to basically have a church service on the doorstep of hell. We will sing. We will pray. We will have banners.
We'll have reading, maybe scripture reading, preaching.
But the abortion clinic is the place where the babies are actually scheduled to die. And if you or I were scheduled to die, we'd want someone to actually jump in, do something to save me.
Right.
And so by us going to these abortion clinics, we create an atmosphere of life and love and hope. And when a mother is coming to have her baby aborted, she sees us and she stops. And maybe she turns away and goes home. Maybe she talks to one of the counselors. Maybe she talks to one of the clergymen that are there. And we have literally saved thousands and thousands of babies, one of whom I adopted, by simply being at the abortion clinic on the day that the child was scheduled to die.
And I've done it myself, but I'm thinking that I know from women that I've spoken to, seeing people like what you're describing at an abortion clinic is what does it, because very often these women are coming conflicted.
Mm-hmm.
They're not coming there to seize their right to choice.
Right.
They're coming there because they're usually frightened, someone's pressuring them, and they're praying usually to God, give me a sign, show me what I'm supposed to do here.
Mm.
And I think by you, what you're saying, they're going to be definitely baby saved
that day. Think of how many people you and I have talked to over the years that have said to us, if someone had only been at that abortion clinic offering me a choice,
I wouldn't have done it.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're going to be there.
And then imagine if all those people that you're going to train go back to their home community with the same fire in their gut and show up at those abortion clinics. Well, a lot of women will get help.
Yeah, and what a witness for Christ. A lot of people think, well, you've got the gospel, and then you have all these social issues or different actions, and they're not separated. It is the gospel.
It is. It is indeed.
Now, some people might be saying, but is that legal activity, you know, or is this something a Christian should be doing coming out an abortion clinic? What would you say about that?
Well, there's two separate issues. One is you have a First Amendment right in America to protest, to be on the sidewalk, to hold rallies. So there's a lot of activities that we'll be doing that are completely legal. There have been times where we have done peaceful civil disobedience, such as a sit-in, where you go and sit on the sidewalk, or rather in front of the door, and say, we're not going to move, we're going to pray, and you sing and pray, and then the police will come and carry people away. And then you get to be in that long history of people in the scriptures and in church history who were arrested. I mean, if you look at American heroes, I mean, good grief, one of our national holidays is named after Dr. Martin Luther King, who was arrested over 100 times for his peaceful protest. But it's really a biblical question. And would you mind if I just gave a little biblical overview?
Please, go ahead.
I attended an evangelical Bible college to prepare for the ministry. I've been in full-time ministry for almost 30 years now. And what I saw when I started Operation Rescue was that the Bible taught very clearly two things. Number one, that God gave us government to create laws that are for our benefit and our safety and our protection. But number two, that God is still the ultimate lawgiver, and that if governments come into power that make something against the law or legal that is against God's law, then God's law is always supreme. And to quote the apostles, they said, we must obey God rather than men. And so many of us are familiar with Hebrews chapter 11, which is the faith hall of fame in the Bible. And if you look at all of the people that are listed there, many of them became heroes of the faith because they broke the law. When the Hebrew midwives were told to kill the babies, they broke the law and saved the babies. Rahab the harlot was told to give up the spies. She broke the law, hid the spies. The apostles were told to stop preaching. And they said, no, we're going to preach anyway. And they violated the law. Okay. So we have a rich biblical heritage of obeying God rather than men. And many people have said over the centuries, an unjust law is no law at all. So we are both exercising our rights that are completely legal, but also in the heritage of the scriptures and in the heritage of America with the Underground Railroad and the women's voting rights and the civil rights movement. We have at points in our past practiced peaceful civil disobedience. And I'll tell you, there's nothing like being arrested for what's for doing what's right.
Because that expresses respect for the law. Mm-hmm. Because the law exists precisely for people.
Yes.
The law exists precisely to protect human rights. So when a system of law is broken in such a way that the law is actually protecting the destruction of human rights,
protecting
the killers in this case, it is the highest respect for law to go around that broken system and to insist on obeying God rather than a broken, unjust law. Now, you mentioned, of course, in summary fashion, the biblical basis for this. I'll also say for our Catholic viewers, this is also the official teaching of the Catholic Church. Because, and Pope John Paul II laid this out very clearly in Evangelium Vitae, the Gospel of Life encyclical. And he praises those. He praises the Hebrew midwives in Scripture. He points out at the apostles, we must obey God rather than men when they were told not to preach. And he makes it very clear what you also just said, that an unjust law is no law at all. It has no binding force. It has no juridic validity. It has no binding on our conscience. And the United States bishops have said the same thing. So those who will get up and say, oh, well, we always have to follow the law, number one, they're simply wrong.
Right.
Number two, it goes against common sense. Number three, it goes against history. Number four, it goes against scripture. Number five, it goes against Catholic teaching. And it goes against a whole lot of other things as well.
That was good. That was a great summary. I should be able to speak that fast. That was good.
You know, how are you going to explain to a baby who was saved? That's what I'd like to do. You know, if people have objections to this kind of activity. But, you know, rather than talk to me or you, just agree with me to sit down with a young man or woman who was saved at one of these rescues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
and explain it to them.
Well, we had on our program Guadalupe, if you recall.
Yeah, oh, sure.
And this little girl now is 10 years old, And Father Frank was at an abortion clinic down in Florida with some pro-lifers out there, like you're saying, witnessing, praying. The mother was inside the clinic, looked out and saw a clergy person out there. And that was just what put it on her heart. And she said, oh, my goodness, I can't do this. And came out, spoke to Father, and had the baby. We had that child here on this program at 10 years old.
In the evangelical world, the phrase, what would Jesus do, was very popular a few years ago and is still around. And I guess at the core of the question, as we invite people to join us in Philadelphia this Thanksgiving weekend, Friday and Saturday, ask yourself, what would Jesus do?
Yes.
Right.
Do you really believe that Jesus would look the other way while innocent babies were torn limb from limb?
Right.
That Jesus would say, well, we don't want to go to that abortion clinic. That's controversial.
Mm-hmm.
No, Jesus chased people with a whip. He overthrew money-changing tables.
Mm-hmm.
He said very intense things to the Pharisees, to the scribes, to Herod.
Mm-hmm.
So our Lord Jesus Christ paved the way for us with his example and his words for us to be heroic, for us to be full of valor and courage. And really, that's part of the theme that we're using to recruit college kids, because we want college kids there. Is to be a hero.
Be a hero. Exactly. Well, you know what? We're going to talk a little bit more about this and re-extend the invitation. But in the meanwhile, friends, stay with us for these messages, and then we'll be back with Randall Terry of Operation Rescue.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. You don't see anything because there's nothing there. Abortion, the most common surgery in America. Why don't we ever see what it looks like? A message from Priests for Life.
Happy birthday to you.
The decision to have an abortion not only affects that moment in your life.
Kristen Gordon.
It affects many precious moments to come.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
Please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
Well, welcome back to our program. We're with Randall Terry, who 20 years ago founded Operation Rescue and is preparing now a special celebration of its 20th anniversary. We're also with Janet Morana, our associate director. And we were talking about what would Jesus do when we look at abortion and we say, what should we do in terms of saving these unborn babies? Another biblical teaching here that comes into play very simply is the golden rule. If our Lord said, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, then we simply need to ask the question, what if our lives were under direct attack legally under direct attack? Would we want somebody to break the law to save us? Yes or no?
And the answer is yes. If we were hiding from the Nazis in the attic and they come and knock on the door, don't tell them I'm up here. save me. Another example is where Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. And then the scribes and the Pharisees, the Bible says, willing to justify themselves, said, well, who is my neighbor? And then Jesus told the story of the man who went from Jerusalem to Jericho and was beaten and left for dead. And he said that the priest and the Levite walked by and didn't save him. Now, these are clergymen who knows what excuse they're making. Maybe they're afraid. Maybe they're saying, I'm not called to a ditch ministry. Maybe they're saying, well, I'm just called to preach the gospel. I'm not called to get involved in social issues. Whatever excuse they were making, it didn't fly with Christ.
Right.
And then Jesus said a Samaritan came along who was insulting them, because that was the heretic. The Samaritans were not even orthodox in their understanding of God. So for Christ to say a Samaritan came along would be like us talking about a heretic coming along. And he said, in that Samaritan took the man, bound up his wounds, put oil and wine, and took him to the inn. That's the one who loved his neighbor. Yeah. That's the one who pleased God. And so for us to say we're Christians means, okay, we have to obey the rules that the Lord gave us. And he said, love your neighbor as yourself and do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And the illustration he gave us was the Good Samaritan. So we're calling people to the height of spirituality. The Apostle James said, true religion and undefiled before God and the Father is to help the widow and the orphan in their distress, the fatherless child. Help that fatherless child at an abortion clinic. That's true religion. So when we say to people, come to this event in Philadelphia on November 23rd and 24th, we're inviting you to a revival of your soul.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
You know, Randall, I also want to point out, you know, we focus a lot, which we should rightfully so, on the child that we're saving. But what I like to point out is that you're also saving the mother.
Yes.
Because as I know from working with so many of the women who regret their abortion through the Silent No More Awareness campaign, you know, for every child you saved, you're preventing that woman from becoming
a lifetime of anguish.
Of anguish, yeah. And despair, mm-hmm. and those feelings mm-hmm. of regret. You've prevented that. So you prevented her from becoming post-abortive. So you're really saving two lives.
That's awesome.
At once. You know, it's, and the father, because so many men don't face their feelings and their involvement in the abortion. And we know by more and more men coming up for testimony. So it's really a whole family issue that you're really saving the family.
Well, we are. And so people, when they can say to somebody, I saved a life, you know what I mean? That's
right.
Just so exciting. And Father Frank, we should let the viewers know, because you have a lot of people watching right now that they consider you a hero, as they should, in the movement. And Janet, your work with Silent No More has helped so many women come to grips with the pain and then be able to testify publicly, so to prevent other women from going through this. But you're going to be with us in the streets,
sure,
and you'll be one of the keynote speakers at the main rally. So
I'm looking forward to it. I look forward to interacting with everybody who's going to be there. And like you said, giving the charge to our next generation of pro-life leaders to take this over the victory line.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, we cannot. One of the greatest dreads that I have personally is, God forbid, please, that I would go to my grave and child killing was still legal in this country. You know, if I say, I speak, I've spoken a lot over the years, if I say to a group of people, what do you think about the German Christians? That question, what do you think about the German church? Most people, 9 out of 10 people, will go immediately to the Holocaust
mm-hmm.
and think of the Christian community who didn't stand helping the Jews. And we look at them now and we have sadness that the Christian community didn't do more in Germany. Well, what are people going to say about the church now, 50 or 100 years from now,
yeah.
in America?
And it's not a matter of saying, oh, if I were there, I would have done A, B, or C. The fact that we're trying to convey is you are there.
Right.
You are there. Don't imagine if I were there. You are there. The Holocaust of abortion is just as real as that Holocaust.
That's right. And so we have a duty before God and men to the angels that are watching,
yes.
to stand for life. To stand for the innocent. And then when we are old and in our rocking chairs, we can look back and say, we were a part of that vibrant force, the church militant,
Amen.
That stood for the truth, stood for life, stood for God's word, stood for the gospel, and we ended this horrific killing in America. And our children and our grandchildren will look, and then they will respect us.
Exactly.
As opposed to how we view what happened in Germany or in other horrible situations.
Well, we look forward to this event. I thank you for being on the segment today, and thank you, Janet, as usual. And thank you, brothers and sisters. Come to Philadelphia, November 23rd and 24th. I look forward to seeing you there, and it's going to be a life-changing event. Stay now with us on our program and learn how you can support our ministry.
There is a crisis in America. A Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ, and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Friends, welcome to our action segment. Janet, we're going to talk about a very basic form of activity that people can get involved in, but it takes many different forms.
That's right. Well, it's called street activism is kind of a broad title, but it's really taking the pro-life message to the streets, because we know we don't get cooperation from the secular media, and therefore there's a lot of activities we can do out in the public square to get our message apart.
And the idea here is that we enjoy in this country the freedoms of the First Amendment, which include freedom of speech and freedom of assembly, so that there are public areas designated, the public sidewalks, for example, as long as you're not blocking access. You've got to let people go by, and you have to let traffic continue, obviously. But to be present as people are going by, to be present as traffic is passing by, to convey whatever message you want to convey, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're famous or unknown, no matter who you are or where you're from, the First Amendment allows that freedom of expression. It's one of the greatest freedoms that we enjoy, and that's why it's part of Amendment Number 1. It's so basic. And that gives us an advantage, because it allows us to, as you said, get a message across that the media might not be covering, or that it might be worse than that they're giving it a negative slant. And to the idea that the speech is protected means that even when, and especially when, it upsets the listeners can't shut us down.
That's right. Well, there's a lot of different activities, and one such thing is called a Face the Truth Tour, or Show the Truth Tour. Mm-hmm. And this is very simply where you have an array of large posters, starting with showing an unborn child, maybe in the sixth, seventh, eighth week of development. Mm-hmm. Then you show that same child, in a few posters later, down the street, what an abortion does to that same baby. And then at the very end, show, well, had you not chosen abortion, here's the living child, the born child, or that adoption is a loving option. Mm-hmm. Now, we've done this before ourselves with staff and friends and people and other pro-lifers. I mean, we did it right in New York City, in the five boroughs of New York.
Yes.
And you stand about, 25 feet apart, so that as traffic goes by, and you maybe need about, maybe you could do it with really as little as 12 people spread out over maybe a two-block like length or along a highway. It's perfectly legal. We would contact the police and tell them we're going to be at a certain location for a certain amount of time, maybe standing there for about an hour, say from, 8 to 9 in the morning during rush hour traffic when there's a lot of cars coming by, and we would have the signs there. And we really educated a lot of people about this is an unborn child and this is what abortion does to that child.
Well, we also saved lives, because there were people who were scheduled to have abortions who saw those signs, and it made them change their minds.
That's right.
And they came up to us.
They contacted us, yeah. So, I mean, that's just one simple activity. If people want more information as to how to do an activity like that in their community, they can contact us at Gospel Life, and we'll put them in touch and show them how to do it.
That kind of activity shows the truth about abortion to the public. Then there's also the type of street activity that goes to the places where the killing is actually occurring and tries to intervene to stop it. So you have prayerful vigils at the abortion mills, you have pickets of the abortion facilities, and you have sidewalk counseling, which of course is the effort to talk to the women and men who are going into that facility to have their child killed, to tell them that there are alternatives, to warn them about the dangers, and to persuade them to turn around.
You know, and being outside an abortion clinic is one of the most important activities that people can do. Even if, like you just said, Father, you're out there with another person, just go two of you and pray. Because very often, and I know this from the testimonies of the women of the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, women who've had abortions, that sometimes, you know, they don't want to have this abortion. They're just kind of grasping. I wish God would show me a sign. You're outside there praying outside that clinic. Sometimes that's just a sign to stop them from going in.
They're looking for a sign, so many of them.
That's right.
And Mark Bomchill, former security guard at Abortion Mill in the Twin Cities, writes and speaks and tells us about the fact that he used to bring women out the back door of the facility when there were pro-life people praying in front so that the pro-life people would not see how many women changed their minds simply because of the fact that they were there. People don't need special training. They don't need to be experts or counselors. They just need to have a will to stop the killing, and they just need to show up because them just being there will save lives.
Well, show up with your Bible. Instead of reading the Bible in the privacy of your home, stand out and witness in front of the abortion clinic.
Brothers and sisters, let's take action. Let's get organized. Let's go out there on the streets. Let's peacefully proclaim the dignity of life. God bless you.
Not until people saw images of children in coal mines did they enact child labor laws. Not until people saw images of human torture did they rise up against slavery. And now, after seeing these images, what will you do? Priests for Life, because America will never reject abortion unless America sees abortion. Call now to learn how you can help.
When I found out I was pregnant, I thought I would lose my job.
My boyfriend told me to choose between him and the baby.
I was already struggling to care for one child, so I had an abortion.
I had trouble conceiving again.
I tried to commit suicide.
I started to have nightmares.
You see, abortion didn't solve our problems.
It just created different ones.
That's why we are silent no more.
We found help in Haley, and you can too. Call or go online today.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today. Gospel of Life program is made possible by the supporters of Gospel of Life Ministries and Priests for Life. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of stopping abortion and providing post-abortion healing. Specific outreaches mentioned are examples of the programs conducted and supported. Gifts are considered to be without use restriction unless specifically stipulated by the donor.